flowers are blooming, the grass is growing, and it's time to chop the weeds. Thanks to our sponsors at Manscaped, you can trim those holes safely and efficiently. I'm talking about ball trimmers, y'all. Manscaped, the global leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming, have an exclusive offer for the Thomas Island audience. If you use our code, TAMA, and you'll get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Join the 2 million men who trust Manscaped. They're here to make sure your balls are trimmed and smelling nice. After all, it's time for some spring cleaning. Manscaped has all the tools to get you spring ready. Have you heard about the Weed Whacker? It's a nose and ear hair trimmer that provides proprietary skin-safe technology which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. There's no more gross nose hairs flying off into the wind. Plus, the premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor and a 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Manscaped is making it easier than ever to whack your weeds and also to make sure that you have the most confidence while also providing hygiene. Speaking of incredible hygiene, Manscaped has formulations to keep you fresh and ready for everything that comes your way all day. The Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. It's starting to get hot outside, and this is crucial for your balls to stop sticking to your leg. I use it. It's great, especially as the summertime gets swampier. If you go to manscaped.com right now and use the code TAMA, you'll get 20% off and free shipping. That's right, use the code TAMA for free shipping and 20% off at manscaped.com. Manscaped, shave your balls.
Thank you very much for joining us here on Thomas Island Podcast. I'm your host, Tama Tonga, and Ross Berman. Brother, how you doing, dude?
I'm doing good, man. The sun is shining a bit too brightly. It's been hot as hell in Chicago, but I can't complain. How are things down in your neck of the woods?
We're getting ready for hurricane season, man. It's been on and off rain here, and I'm getting a little worried, man. It's one thing after the other here in Florida, man.
You guys are already dealing with the pandemic. Now you've got a hurricane heading your way. It's there. I don't want to make it a hat trick, but it's going to sound it's going to get weird, man. It's going to get weird before it gets better.
Florida, man. We love staying in the news, man. News whores over here in Florida. What's going on? What are we doing this week, man? We're doing a little something different, right? We're switching it up.
This week we're gonna get a little different. This week we're gonna open things up to the subscribers from the Thomas Island Patreon, their Facebook page, also some of the Twitter followers and the Instagram followers. We're opening it up to the people of Thomas Island to ask you questions. Enough of me sitting in my ivory tower coming up with a list of of high analytical questions. We want to actually get the listeners' questions answered this week. So this week is Ask Tama. Are you ready for? I have a massive list of questions. If you're a subscriber on the Facebook page, your question is definitely in here. If you're a Twitter or an Instagram follower, we tried to do our best to get as many of you in as possible. But if you head over to patreon.com/Thomas Island and subscribe, next time we do an Ask Tom episode, you're gonna be right at the front of the line for these questions. So because we had so many questions, we're gonna break it up into sections this week. So our first section, Tama.
All right. I hope I'm ready for these, man. These are going to be some deep ones, huh?
Oh, I've been going through them. I think there's going to be a lot of really fun stuff we get out of you. You're about to run through the gamut. So the first section we're going to go with is going to be kind of general. We're going to start with New Japan. We're going to start with some wrestler related questions. Okay. And ultimately, we wanted to start with a real nice hard one, a nice difficult fun question from Ruben from the Thomas Island Facebook group. Shout out to Ruben who's been hanging out in the happy hours. Mm-hmm. He wants to know, what is the best way to increase New Japan's audience in the U.S.? We're starting off hard. Starting off real hard, Tama. What's the best way to get those U.S. numbers up for New Japan?
You kind of get my wheels here turning. All right. The obvious answer that pops up is to get on a television platform out here in the United States, a network. Mm-hmm. That would be the obvious one to get more eyes on New Japan product. But the other movement, if that isn't possible, I think the groundwork would have to be using our talent to flood the independent scene here in the United States.
Okay. And so kind of
spread,
kind of like what the Elite and the Bucks did.
Yes.
In like that ROH era where you just kind of take the indies by storm.
Right. And I think once you, I mean, if you're a pro wrestler, if you're a wrestling fan already, then you already know New Japan. You're pretty hardcore if you know the independent level, right?
Yep.
So I think that would be the other option, is to send all our New Japan guys to work these independents. I don't know if there's any surviving right now because of the pandemic, but
GCW just ran a weekend of shows where they had ACH, they had Leo Rush, they had a lot of interesting talent. There might it's slowly but surely the independents are popping back up.
So that's the way I would. That's the other way I would get to increase audience here in the U.S.
Okay.
You know, that'll be the other way. What do you think?
I think the network is a big, obviously, like you said, that's the obvious one. If you can get New Japan on a television, that gets you into a lot of houses. I think the independent model is it's foolproof, simply because of the fact that whether there will always be lean years, there will be flush years, no matter what New Japan's business is, that independent fan base will always be there. They will always be able to, there will always be not only there watching wrestling, but creating new fans. Independent wrestling does create new fans. And I think you can bring a lot of those new fans to the New Japan product with flooding the independent scene. I also think having relationships with the way folks do with Impact or MLW, places where the wrestlers have a little bit more creative freedom, like you see with Gallows and Anderson and Impact, because they're there, it creates a conversation about New Japan. It creates a conversation about Bullet Club, because Impact hasn't stopped that conversation. They don't need to facilitate it, but they also don't need to stop it. And so as long as you can have that conversation, like we said, on a network, I think there's a lot to do there. Speaking of a lot, we have a lot of questions to go through. We're going to take a quick ad break now that we've got Tama's wheels kind of turning.
Yeah,
we're going to take a quick ad break. Now, because there are so many questions, there will likely be a bonus episode for Patreon subscribers only of all the questions we didn't have time for. So again, if you want to hear every single question that is on this mammoth list that I'm going through on my phone, head on over to patreon.com/Thomas Island, subscribe. You will get all of the access you could want, but we're going to take a quick break.
Guys, we dropped our summer collection right now on thomasisland.com. That's tank tops, hats, board shorts. We got your summer needs right here, right now on thomasisland.com. Ross, tell them what they need to go get.
That's right. If you head over to thomasisland.com right now, you can get tank tops. We got blue, we got green, we got pink, we got all kinds of colors to switch up your wardrobe. We got hats, we got shorts, we got all kinds of merch coming your way. thomasisland.com. Get it now, because it is not going to last long.
That's right. That's right, Ross. It is not going to last long. This is a limited edition 2020 summer, okay? 2020 summer. Your collection, yours, you can have it right now on thomasisland.com. You need to switch up your wardrobe. There's too much black going on. You need to put a little life into your wardrobe right now with some color, some vibrant colors to liven up your livelihood, okay? That's thomasisland.com. Grab your summer gear, summer collection. Go right now, thomasisland.com.
Beautiful. All right, we're back. All right, Ross, you ready to rock and roll?
I'm ready.
Let's pop them off, man. I'm going to sit back and let you handle the questions. I'm just going to drink my energy drink here and answer your questions the best that I know of, right?
Sounds like a plan. All right, we are going to head over to Twitter. Razbender from Twitter is asking, do you think that BC not being a Gaijin group anymore, now that you've got Togo, now that you've got Evil, do you think that's going to hurt it or help it in the long run?
I don't think it's going to hurt it. I think we must adapt with the times. Mm-hmm. And keep everything different. It's just got to keep changing, evolving with times. And we're 7 years in. And I think it's okay. I think it's cool. we'll get creative and see what happens. I don't think it's going to hurt it. I think it'll help it.
Do you think having, especially with the kind of talent that you have joining Bullet Club now, that like we've talked about this in the past, guys like mm-hmm. Gato, Jado, Dick Togo, mm-hmm. these are Japanese establishment. Do you think that because of the way Japanese culture is, having that establishment kind of say Bullet Club is something? It can only help it, really. Because originally you're this outsider group. You're this
right.
you're just a bunch of gaijins in it to keep yourselves together, to keep your money on your mm-hmm. table. And now the Japanese establishment is saying this gaijin group is not only a thing, but the thing right now. I mean, y'all were running roughshod over the summer struggle tour. Like Bullet Club is still alive and well.
It's like a nod at Bullet Club for doing mm-hmm. so damn well that all the Japanese guys want to come into it. So I think it's good for in the long run. Mm-hmm. You got to keep changing. You never know. You just never know with pro wrestling now. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's going to hurt it. I think we have to change with times and mm-hmm. having Gato, Jado, all these Japanese wrestlers come in, it can only better us with their influence, because I mean they got history Togo, right?
Oh yeah.
I think there's always something to learn from these guys and their history, because they all wrestled for English promotions. I'm sorry, US promotions before ECW mm-hmm. and all that. So they've got a lot of history that I could definitely learn from. So that's my positive of taking from that, is I can learn a lot.
Yeah.
So it was a good thing.
And I feel like we're kind of burying the obvious answer here, is the fact that you can't really get a lot of foreigners in Japan right now in 2020. And so if Bullet Club's going to have a presence in New Japan, it's going to need to be a Japanese one, at least for a little bit right now. So I'm with you. I think it can only help it. All right. We're going to narrow it down. We're going to get away from the general New Japan questions. We're going to take it to more specific individual wrestlers. Morgan Epstein, shout out to Morgan. He's been in a bunch of the happy hours. He's a loyal subscriber coming mm-hmm. from the Thomas Island Facebook group. He wants to know what your favorite moment inside or outside of the ring with Bad. What was your favorite moment inside or outside of the ring with Bad Luck Fale? And then we have a second part of the question that we'll go into.
Okay. Favorite moment inside or outside the ring with Bad Luck Fale? Outside the ring is just too many to know, mm-hmm. to count. All right. But inside... oh shoot, man. The favorite moment with Bad Luck Fale, man. I enjoy just watching Fale not do it. Like, he's such a big dude. When he gets mm-hmm. in the ring, he don't move for nobody. And I get a kick when we're all like working in there, everybody's bumping around, and then you just look over, he's just like a statue, just stands there and is a big dude. You know, and nobody's going to go over there and do anything to him. And every time I see that, no matter how many times I've seen it, I always get a kick out of it. Because who's going to go tell Fale move or do this, do that? Fale ain't doing shit, man. If he don't want to do nothing, he ain't doing nothing. And that's his boss, man. That's under boss man shit right there.
Oh, yeah. So, whenever Fale stands on someone, I lose it. I absolutely love whenever he whenever he gives that Tongan massage. Now, the second part of Morgan's question is one of my favorite bits of like New Japan lore. I'll actually rephrase this. How did the idea come about that Bad Luck Fale attacks the ring announcer when he announces him?
If I remember this correctly, it was first of all, it was Fale's idea. He just kind of mm-hmm. came out of it because he came with it because I think that ring announcer called him Tama Tonga or somebody, you know, and we were all in the ring and we all started laughing at him and finally got pissed off. And I think that's when he pushed the bump, the referee. And then I think the fans lost it. They were booing him or and they're like, oh, that works. All right. So that's been Fale's mission ever since. Like after that, it was just to chase the ring announcer. It got to the point where they ran around with the fan, you know, in between the fans, you know, and it's funny, man. The fan loves it now.
Oh yeah, no, it's a great moment. I was glad Morgan asked the question because I remember hearing that story a long time ago. I'm like, oh, he called him Tama. I get to ask Tom about this. This is we're coming full circle with the ring announcer abuse. All right, we're going to head now over to Darren Melton, also another loyal subscriber from the Thomas Island Facebook group. Outside of your brothers, of all of the members, past and present, who do you feel you have the most in common or got along with best from Bullet Club?
Most in common and got along. Some of my brothers. Does Farley count as my brothers?
Because that's a good question. Because like I don't know if the Good Brothers count as your brothers because they're also brothers. Fale is related to you. I mean,
Fale is my cousin. So
even if you didn't have relatives, it already feels like picking favorites. But
I just got along. That was why Bullet Club was such was so easy at the beginning because we all just got along like really really great friends, and I think that's what made us work so much better and harder because we just all got along. There was no egos taking over. So, I mean, Fale, besides my cousin, you know, him being my cousin, I got along with him great. We have a lot in common. Carl Anderson, we got along great. Gallows, we got along great. Prince David, we got along great. They're all up there, you know, that I got along with. So that all of them, all those guys I just named. That's outside of my real brothers, I guess, huh?
Yeah, and that makes sense because that's why I was like, I mean, because Carl Anderson, you already call him your good brother, and I mean, just based on the conversations we've had, that's a pretty brotherly relationship right there, and so it feels like even the current group, it's hard to separate y'all and make y'all pick. All right, we're gonna head now over to Wade over on Twitter. His handle is at Geminem07. Wade wants to know who is your least favorite wrestler to work with. Just whether it's a personality, chemistry, who is your least favorite to work with, and what do you look for in a good wrestler to work with? Now, obviously, with that first one, I'm going to leave it up to you if you want to name names or if you just want to be general about what you don't like, you know, what kind of habits you don't like to work with.
I don't have a least favorite wrestler. I don't have that, but I look for flow, man. If we can just have fun in there. I'm always looking to have fun.
Yeah. And
with somebody who can work, who can wrestle, I'm looking for that. I don't have least favorites. I'm trying to go through my head right now, and everybody's pretty cool. Wrestling is fun for me, and so I look for guys that could really double down on that.
They calling you. All right, now this last one we got. I want to credit it to someone, but we got it from like 10 different people, and so it's going to be an amalgam of about 10 different people from various platforms wanting to know. What is your favorite bad luck? Because we talked about, you know, what about how inside and outside of the ring, Fale is you know, you're very close. You just recently found out you're related. But did he ever cut you in on his chop money from the block party? Because he was chopping the hell out of people at last year's Bullet Club block party. He was making a pretty penny doing it. Did the rest of you see any of that chop money, or did he just
No, man. Hey,
no tribute?
Look, no tribute. But that was the deal. If they came in to help out, and whatever they make out there, that's theirs. I never looked at to get any cut. I'm pro brothers, man. Whatever the brothers can make out there, you know, I'm just happy that we are all able to get together and have fun with the fans. So any money was made, that's all theirs. Now, I see the question is favorite story in and out of the ring with Bad Luck Fale. I have one that I just thought about and I kind of giggled a little. But I'm breaking kayfabe here. So, but Fale and Michael Elgin were making a match. And I remember Elgin was like, all right, so I'm going to pick you up here. I'm a power bomb. I like to put you over my shoulder. And then, you know, and turn that into a Falcon Arrow or some shit about power bombing. And everybody just got quiet. And then Fale just slowly looked at him and goes, just shook his head and said, no, I don't take those kind of bumps, bro. And we just lost it, man. I was like, Elgin, you're crazy, bro. I know Elgin right now is already hot waters, and I'm sorry to add that there, but that was funny to me. So Elgin, that's all love, Elgin.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It was just the way he looked up and he's like, I don't take those kind of pumps, bro. Oh, anyway, let's get back to that.
All right. No, I love it, because he does have those. He does two big moves for every one, and so I can see him trying to run one of those Falcon arrows by Fale, and it just being hell no.
Elgin's like 5. He's shorter than me, so he's got to be 5'9", 5'8". I'm sorry, Elgin. All right, but. I know you're a big dude, but Fale is like 6'6".
Yeah.
He's 300 pounds. That's what I'm talking about, ego, man. Yeah. Y'all need to check y'all's ego at the door, bro.
And I mean, you can try, but he's not going to go up. It's not going to, there's only so much your muscles can do.
I'm just like, come on, bro. I love you, Elgin, sometimes, but man, damn, come on, bro. You're not going to power bomb a 6-foot guy that's 300 pounds, you know.
Let's face it, very, very few people are. All right, we're gonna move over to a more lighthearted a question where we get to let you put a spotlight on someone. Because Shredaholic86 on Instagram wants to know, which Bullet Club member do you think is the most underrated worker? Who do you think out of Bullet Club just does not get the they're doing proper for how much they bust their ass?
Are we talking about the past members, right?
I mean, there's no time frame on it. It can literally just be from the beginning to now. It can be whoever.
Everybody's kind of put in their work, man. Who's Yujiro?
Yujiro's currently in a feud with Okada. I mean, it feels like it's going to go all the way to Jingu Stadium. And so it's a spotlight he hasn't had, I think, is finally getting to show people what he has been able to do since the No Limit days. I mean, you think Yujiro or like a Chase Owens? I mean, there are some.
Chase. Yujiro and Chase, definitely. Those are my two. Chase is really, really talented. I'll just add to that. He's one of those. He's done some time on the independent scene, so he's gathered a lot of experience. He's good, man. Chase is really good. That's my second guy. Okay. Yujiro first. Chase is my second guy.
Okay, Chase and Yujiro, most underrated. I think that's I like that a lot. I really do. Little Blue Rider on Instagram wants to know, out of the past members of Bullet Club, who do you most want to come back and why? You only get to pick one. It can only be the past members.
Oh, man. Past members, I would want to come back, and why? I would say Prince David.
Prince David, yeah.
I would say Finn Balor would be the one, because I don't think he finished off what he started. There you go. I don't think that he was done. He's done enough. He just had a short reign. Mm-hmm. And he was gone. But I think if he comes back, there's so much that he could do, and there would be so many stories. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And now the last question before we head to the break, I kind of want to go back to this topic we started with. How do you feel New Japan has evolved over your time there? And on top of that, not only how has it evolved since you've joined the roster, where do you want to see it go in the future?
Oh. Evolving wise, I think New Japan, the strong style has evolved since I've been there. I think that we've become better workers now.
Okay.
Understanding, more of what to do in the ring and so I would say the strong style has evolved. Is it still strong style? Yes, but it's a little different. It's not. I think it's more. It's less sloppy.
Okay.
Less sloppy now with the way we work. And it's very, it's a lot more precise than before. No.
Do you think that's just, has there been like a general company-wide mandate to get everyone tighter, or is it just how the company's been running over the past few years that it just tightened up?
It's who we've brought in, the guys that's in it. Because whoever's doing well, they're at the forefront and everybody's watching and they want to up their game. So it's who we have in our company and how helpful they are and how much of a team player they are. I think the guys at the front are doing a very well job of leading. How to, you know, instead of just being a me, it's a more of us moving everybody forward, not just one person at a time.
You think that's guys like Tanahashi, Okada, because a lot of the champions over the past few years have felt like locker room leaders. I mean, even Naito to a degree, I think you can make the argument.
Definitely.
They're just picking good people over there. I like that answer better than like New Japan just being like, all right, everyone tighten up. I just like that it's been this natural bringing in the right people to do the right stuff. That's amazing. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna pay some bills, and then we will discuss some questions about Tama himself, the wrestler. Stay tuned. We have more Ask Tama coming up. So Tama, you heard about Manscaped?
Oh, come on now, Ross. Of course I have, man.
I figured you'd hear about Manscaped. Everyone's got to hear about Manscaped. Look, if you don't want your partner thinking your dick smells evil and you want them calling you Bone Soldier one more time, I see you laughing at that, Tama. I know. We've all had that moment where your partner's like, you know, your dick's a little evil. If you don't want that evil dick, then you got to get Manscaped. Manscaped has a brand new electric trimmer. It's their third generation trimmer. They call it the Lawnmower 3.0. It's got a cutting edge ceramic blade. It's not going to cause any of those accidents that you don't want in a place where things have to be very careful. It's got a battery that's going to last you up to 90 minutes. You can take your time. You can trim as long as you need to. It's got water resistant technology. Groom in the shower, groom at the beach, groom under a waterfall, groom wherever you need to. It's got an LED light so you can see what you're doing. You don't have to work blind. That is not a place you want to be working blind. And let's not forget about the charging stand. You can show it off. It can look proud. It can look. It can show it. Make a conversation piece. Because let's face it, it is. It's nice to look at, and it makes people.
Use it as a microphone. Huh?
Exactly. You can start singing karaoke. You can start. You can finally lip sync for your life with Manscaped. Trim that junk ears. If you're listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience it firsthand, first ball, first whatever.
Hey, look, when Ross says trim your junk, he means trim your junk, okay? Now, look, you may have heard about Manscaped from all over the place, all right? But ain't nobody, and I mean ain't nobody, gonna give you that deal that Thomas Island is about to give you. All right, not only do you get 20% off and free shipping with the code TAMA at manscaped.com, if you're one of the first 10 people to use the code, we will send you a Thomas Island prize pack that includes Thomas Island goodies and a little something special for me. All right, a prize pack alone is worth the price. All you have to do is use our code TAMA. Screenshot your order confirmation and tweet or Instagram us at Thomas Island. That screenshot, and then all good from there. You win. That's it. We'll pick it. Pick 10, okay? So it's that easy. Remember, 20% off with the free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code TAMA and act quickly if you want that prize pack. Treat yourself, and your balls will thank you. All right. You ready to get this going?
Yep.
Whew. Hit me up. We're getting personal now, right?
Yeah, all right. We're back. We're going to start talking. We're going to move on from the general NJPW specific wrestler questions. We're going to talk about Tama now. We're going to get the questions that the subscribers, the listeners want to know about Tama Tonga, the man, the wrestler, and everything in between. We're going to start with Tom Clow from the Tama's Island Facebook group. Shout out to Tom. He wants to know, is there any indie company that you haven't had the chance to work with that you think would be a good fit for Guerrillas of Destiny or just BC in general?
Maybe. You just brought up one not too early at this podcast, GCW.
Game Changer Wrestling, yep, over in Jersey.
Yeah, They've been making a lot of ruckus lately, huh? Yeah.
So They kind of had to. They had a big WrestleMania weekend planned this year with the Collective. Mm-hmm. They had shows like For the Culture, Effie's Big Gay Brunch. They were really going to make some inroads into some inclusive inclusive areas, and then everything went down, and now they're scrambling to get back to business. They had homecoming this weekend, which seemed like was a lot of fun. They've been running shows in Indiana, but so you think Bullet Club and Game Changer Wrestling could be an interesting combo?
Maybe. Are you familiar with one? There's an indie wrestling company out in Germany.
WXW.
WXW.
Okay.
Well, what do you think about that? I think
they're a great company. They have the same issue with Progress in that they are a WWE subsidiary sort of right now. Mm-hmm. In fact, there are some rumors that Progress and WXW are going to be on the network sometime in the future.
Okay.
But everything I've seen from them, I've been a big fan of. And and let's face it, if you can get Bullet Club or GOD in a company like WXW, where there is that mm-hmm. WWE connection, there's some mm-hmm. waves, there's some controversy, there's some shit that can be stirred there.
Oh,
just saying. I like that. Just saying. All right, we're going to head on over to Karen, at Karen Nerds Out on Twitter. She wants to know, who was your biggest influence, or who were your biggest influences, plural, in the dojo?
Makabe.
Makabe? Makabe?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, Makabe, Tanahashi, mm-hmm. And Nagata. Nagata was huge. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just gonna gave us three. I'm gonna make you give me one thing you got from each of them.
No, yeah. So Tana used to come into our practice mm-hmm. and roll around with us when we were training in there. Besides, now hold up. I don't know if you guys know this, but Jado was my trainer, was my dojo trainer. So he was probably the biggest influence in my wrestling. So he would come in and train us, and then mm-hmm. Tana always took care of us coming in, rolling around. Oh shoot! I gotta add Nakanishi into that. Nakanishi used to take me and Fale out all the time, take us out eating all the time. Now, I've known Nakanishi since like the '90s. Mm. He came out to WCW. I think he might have been on his excursion, but my dad was. They would do filming out in Orlando, so my dad was his senpai and always took care of Nakanishi. You bring him over to the house. So when I went to Japan, Nakanishi remembered me and just, he would take us out to eat, like a senpai kohai type deal, mm-hmm. take care of me and Fale. And he was a big mm-hmm. influence. Makabe would bring in food all the time into the dojo, make sure that he was always looking after the trainees. Mm-hmm. Some days, man, like after a tour, you're supposed to train, you know, go into training the next day. Mm-hmm. Makabe will come in and be like, you guys take a rest day. And that was such relief, you know, just to kind of give us a break and be like, man, somebody has a heart here. You know, so, you know, Makabe always took care of us. Even when I was a young boy, when we did the tours all around Japan, mm-hmm. Makabe always took us with his sponsors. And so, you know, it was helpful when we didn't have any money, because Makabe was always taking us along to those dinner sponsors. Nagata always came in, taught us how to shoot, man. He was a wrestler, grappler. He came in and had a lot of influence on us on training days, especially. Who else I have in there?
I mean, Shinsuke, man. I was going to say, you haven't even touched on Carl Anderson. You haven't touched.
I could go on. Everybody that, I think about it, though, mm-hmm. everybody had a hand.
Yeah.
Everybody had a hand. It was this group mentality. Whoever was in there, they felt that they needed to come in and mm-hmm. say something or roll around, or it was just this group mentality. It was us. Yeah. And whoever was in took time to come help out whenever they could. So that's just, I could go on. I probably named the whole entire roster.
It seems like you were like, well, it was Tana, but it was also Nagata. Yeah. It was also Makabe. Yeah. It just keeps going. And it feels like it's a lot of the names that you still see helping the young lions actively. Mm-hmm. Like with Makabe, he is currently embroiled in I don't want to call it a rivalry. He's just kind of sharpening Gabriel Kidd right now. He's very mm-hmm. focused on just kind mm-hmm. of beating some respect into Gabriel Kidd. And so to hear that he is this kind of loving dojo figure. He's like, take the day off. I've brought food. Is very.
Don't get it twisted. I've seen Makabe whoop a dude.
Yeah, no, but this
in a dojo, man.
And that's why I wanted to bring it up, because it's that duality of man thing where it's like he can be very sweet, but like if you've been watching New Japan right now, he can also lay it into you. Speaking of laying it in and just kind of learn, we've talked about learning, and so this is a question about maybe some trial by fire, because Mike at Miracle Michael on Twitter wants to know, he was there first of all for your ladder match with the Briscoes in Toronto. Yeah. He says, was that ladder match with the Briscoes the most brutal match you've ever been in? And if not, what was the most brutal match that you've ever had? What's the match that like?
I didn't think that would be the most brutal, but I didn't think it was that brutal.
Okay.
It was different. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was it hardcore for at the time. It was I thought it was great, but do I think it was brutal? If you call that brutal, then you know, all right, then I guess I'm it's all right. But it was a lot of fun. Briscoes always turn up, man. And that kind of competitiveness, they bring out that kind of competitiveness out of me and my brother. So yeah, I would say that was fun. That was brutal. I guess.
Nice and brutal. Yeah, it was good because you don't do a lot of hardcore matches.
Nah.
Like, so I wouldn't be surprised if that is your most brutal match. But it's speaking of competition though, let's head on to Alfredo at Neutral Another on Twitter wants to know if you could have a one-on-one match with any member of Bullet Club, past or present, who would it be and why?
Carl Anderson.
Ooh, Gunstun versus Gunstun?
Gunstun versus Gunstun. Who can do it better? Ooh. Now, he's just one of those guys that I've mentioned before that he was a mentor to me, and I learned a lot just watching him. Mm-hmm. He's amazing, and I'd like to just kind of see where I'm at right now with him, you know, how far I've come. He's been away. I haven't wrestled with him or near him, what, in 5 years? Yeah, 5 years. Just to kind of measure up, see where I stand, and I would go against Carl Anderson.
Okay. Let's see if the answer to this question is the same as the last one then. Because on a similar topic, if you were able to give the Gunstun to anyone in wrestling, past and present, so living, dead, whoever, anyone in the history of wrestling that you could give the Gunstun to, who would it be and why?
Andre the Giant.
Ooh.
I would do that just to see if I can, my ups can... that would be pretty if I can
just to see jump if you can
all the way up there. Yeah, just all the way up there and grab that. That would be awesome. Just I think the picture, the whole image of that Gunstun and Andre the Giant would have been awesome.
The mental image alone is gorgeous. I think that would be a lot of fun. Speaking of fun, Alan RB, let me make sure I'm saying this. Yeah, Alan RB0 on Instagram wants to know what your favorite in-ring moment ever is.
Favorite in-ring moment. Okay. I talk about this a lot. I made a commercial on it for New Japan. I've done it for one of their YouTube channel. I'm very proud of this moment because it was never seen before in wrestling. I turned Yoshihashi's karma into a Gunstun. I countered it into a Gunstun, and it was never been seen before in the sport of wrestling. It was just the way we built up the match, where we were in Osaka. It was just hot. It was just perfect. Mm-hmm. And then that moment right there, I got a glimpse of what I can do. You know what the it just after that, I had a boost of confidence that just rushed through me, and I that helped me keep moving forward in wrestling and want to do more, do that again over and over, but more in a spectacular form, I guess.
I like that because it is, I don't know, it's I think it's very relatable when you learn what you can accomplish, and like you learn that your limits are a little bit higher than you thought they were, you know, and even. You know, even if it's just they're a little higher than they were yesterday, that's always a lot of fun. I want to throw a hypothetical at you from at the Gainer 79. George on Twitter wants to know, with Cody doing his open challenge every week, do you think you'd ever accept that challenge? Do you think you'd ever show up AEW and try and take that TNT championship?
Oh, money talks, baby. Money talks. Ooh. All right, money talks.
You don't want an open challenge. You want an offer. You want a
no,
you,
yeah,
prize you know, fight.
Yeah, money talks, man. I'm gotcha. New Japan. I'm New Japan, and so money talks. That's all I can say about that.
No, that's hey. Sometimes that's all you got to say about that. The next question is coming from Lindsay at Lindstreet on Twitter. She wants to, because this is on a similar thread. After the Elite left, it felt like it was your time. This is Lindsay's words. It felt like it was your time for a singles push. Do you think there will ever be a Tama Tonga singles run anytime in the future? Do you think that's coming?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I like to think so. I like for y'all to think so too. I don't want to ever say no to anything.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, you never know. And look, yeah, you never
know. I'm gonna throw a hypothetical out there. Jon Moxley's got that U.S. title.
Uh-huh.
That IWGP U.S. title is somewhere in the North American continent, as far as we all know.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, just maybe we can find your way to that. I'm just throwing out hypotheticals here. All right, so now we're gonna move from hypotheticals to legacy. We're gonna move to I think this is gonna be a question. I'm actually really mad that I haven't asked already. Wesley Tuya on Instagram wants to know, what is the first thing you want people to remember when they hear the name Tama Tonga? Like, because don't get me wrong, you still got a lot of time left. Your future is still very much left to be written. But right now, as it stands, when someone hears the name Tama Tonga, what is it that you want people to think of?
Tama Tonga the Great.
Tama Tonga the Great. Yeah?
Yeah.
Like a conquering general coming into just take over everything?
I wouldn't say conquering. I would think more of what he's done.
Okay. Okay, I see what you're saying. I see you want it to be the accomplishments even more than like the cult of personality. You want it to be that pedigree.
Yeah.
The numerous IWGP tag championships, the ROH tag championship, CMLL tag champions, maybe some singles titles in there in the future.
Yeah,
I don't know, but
singles titles, that Bullet Club, New Japan, career, the whole nine, baby, the whole nine.
All right. Well, we're gonna get deep and personal with Tama the Great in just a little bit. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, some real deep personal questions on this Ask Tama edition of Tama's Island.
Guys, if you've enjoyed listening to Tama's Island podcast, there's more for you at the patreon.com/Tama's Island.
That's right, Tama. If you've been having a good time on the island, you want to find a way to get more involved, you want to maybe ask some questions, maybe you want to hang out with Tama himself, head on over to patreon.com/Tama's Island. We have an exclusive Facebook page where you're able to ask questions, you're able to talk about what's happening in New Japan, what's happening in the world, what's happening with Tama. We've got bonus episodes if you want to see every episode of Tama's Island, not only early, but in bright video where you can see what Tama's wearing, you can see what I'm wearing, you can find out who's having a bad hair day. Head over to patreon.com/Tama's Island. If you get the Islander tier, we have a happy hour every week on Zoom at both 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. They're always a fun time. And starting in August, for 1 week a month, we are going to pick a subject suggested by a Patreon subscriber. So you head over to patreon.com/Tama's Island. You're going to be able to suggest a topic. You're going to be able to ask some questions. You're going to be able to have a good time. So please head on over there, subscribe, and hang out.
patreon.com/Tama's Island.
Okay, Ross.
We're
getting real personal, yeah?
Oh yeah, no. Are you ready? Are you ready for the you always like to say we get deep on this show. I think this is the deep dive segment.
Okay.
I think this is going to be the
this is a real deep dive.
Oh yeah. Did you see the article about how they found like a hole at the bottom of the ocean that's got like a blue light coming out of it?
What?
Oh yeah. Weird stuff's going on in the ocean. We're gonna dive deep. We're gonna go. We're gonna go find out what's on the other end of that.
You know what Philo would tell you?
Hmm.
Aliens.
Hey.
That's Violet's favorite go-to.
Pentagon keeps releasing new stuff every day. All right, before we get to Joe Rogan, let's go back to the questions. Nick Myers from the Facebook group, shout out to Nick, a loyal Thomas Island subscriber, wants to know, was there something that truly made you feel famous? Like just for example, like getting an action figure, big merch, like what was the moment that made you realize like, oh, Tama Tonga is somebody?
We were in New York. Mm-hmm. We were in New York for the last time we were in New York. What were we doing in New York?
Was that G1 Supercard?
Supercard. And we were, me and the boys were just coming out of a restaurant we found somewhere. This like little Asian restaurant. We came out and this dude just walked by and just out of nowhere, middle of nowhere, just, oh shit. And he knew me and he's like, you wanted to take a picture. And I was like, I was just kind of surprised. And he looked at me, he goes, what are you doing out here? What are you? I was like, eating. He goes, no, in New York. He didn't even know we had a show out there.
Oh, man.
And I was like, oh shit. Okay. Yeah. I said, we just had one of our biggest shows this right in your state, bro. But then I thought, man, I guess I didn't do a good job of telling people about our big show in New York, you know? So yeah, maybe I should do a better job on social media. But that's when I thought, I was like, damn, okay. The guy didn't even know we were here out here, but he knew me. So I was like,
maybe. And it's in New York too. I mean,
in New York.
It's like they say, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
Just about this, man. I love that. I love that saying.
That's no smoke. It is really true that if you can get to the point where someone is asking for a picture of you in New York City, you made it, man. As speaking as a former upstate New Yorker, that's big. We're going to head over to Bonnie. Shout out to Bonnie, loyal Thomas Island subscriber. Most important non-wrestling related thing you've learned from your time in Japan, what would it be?
Most important. Oh, boy. Damn, Bonnie. Okay.
Bonnie always comes prepared.
Right? non-wrestling. I would just say just the way Japan ran things with their people. Example, they wear masks. They were wearing masks before masks was even made a thing, right? They're just very courteous, very polite. I feel like the whole idea of Japan is the thought of all of us together. Just the things that I learned at the dojo is us, is our thing. It's not just a me thing. I think that's outside of the dojo in Japan altogether. That's what I would take. They worked, the people are more as of us mentality, not just a me mentality. That's, I think, what I learned.
Yeah. That's big. Us, not me. That's really important. We're going to head to Twitter now. John Beals, Puff in 84. He wants to know, how did you meet your wife? Who said the L word first? And also, when will your brothers be on the podcast? I also want to know when your brothers are going to be on the podcast. But let's talk about your wife first. How did you meet your wife?
I met my wife in downtown Orlando, but we met online and we were messaging each other, and then I told her that I was coming back from Japan after a tour, so I was only home for like 2 weeks, and my brothers and I were going out to downtown Orlando, and I was like, "Yeah, why don't you meet us out downtown?" That was it. That's how we met. Yeah, and who said the L word first?
Yeah, who said?
She did. She did. Oh. I got that swag. Yes, it was her. It was her first.
And okay.
Then, my brothers would come on the podcast. Well, I just, you know, right now is I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. Hanging out.
We've seen Leo. Your dad has shown up. Your dad has shown up on Happy Hour. Like your family is not absent from the podcast.
If you were at the Patreon, you would know this.
Yeah. Yep. Subscribers know.
On the Patreon.
Subscribers know. All right, we're going to head over to Twitter now. The Pagan Dude wants to know, do you ever purposely fart on someone in the ring? And if you do, who?
No, I don't do it. No, I do it by accident all the time.
Okay.
When you get slammed, man, it knocks the wind out of you. all both ways. so
I was gonna say I've seen some of those splashes where you're like someone had man. To toot up. It does make moon salts look a lot different when you realize someone's probably farted, either delivering or receiving it. Someone's probably passing some gas. All right, next, Real A Esposito on Twitter, Anthony Esposito wants to know if you could keep the hat I gave you. Did you keep the hat that he gave you in Connecticut? It's a black hat with a Punisher symbol. You still have the Punisher hat?
I still got it. Thank you very much for that hat, man.
Shout out to Anthony, man. He's still got the hat. we're going to head over to subscriber Scott Rand from the Thomas Island Facebook group. Shout out to Scott. Wants to know, what team or era of X-Men is your favorite? And any whatever favorite writers or artists?
See, now, I didn't know them by writers and artists. Mm-hmm. I was just looking at the pictures and the storyline. But if you could, from the early 90s all the way to about 97, anything in that period was my shoot. All the way up to 99, actually. Yeah, so 91 to 99. 1991 to 1999 is whoever was doing the comics then. Whoever, what group was that? That was me. X-Factor, X-Men. Shoot. Who else? Wolverine was my favorite, though.
Yeah.
At first, and then you just
start discovering. It's like the dojo. You're like, well, it starts with Wolverine, but then there's all this cycle. No, I dig that. Everything is everything. So it is kind of like, you can't, I don't get me wrong. Everyone will have their personal favorite X-Men, but what makes X-Men great is all of them. It's the ever expanding group. PTS Show Off on Instagram wants to know, when are you going to get your own action figure? Huh? When are you getting that action figure, Tama?
I already got it, man. All right.
Tell PTS Show Off where to get that action figure.
I make it find it on Amazon. They sell it on Amazon. Somebody's doing it on Amazon. But there's a toy figure company in Tampa that we did. Probably came out with it about 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
And then, so we're working on a different one. We'll see how it goes, but okay. I'll let you know.
Keep your eyes peeled. I got a feeling subscribers will definitely know if and when. you're usually pretty open with them about that. We're going to head over to Lil John PSK on Twitter. John wants to know, is there truly a wrestler that you just don't like? You don't like working with them. You don't like, and just who do you, is there anyone, I don't want to, You can also, this is another one where I'll let you generalize if you don't want to put anyone on blast.
Nah, I'm not that kind.
Yeah.
I don't, that's not me, man. I don't have people say, I hate, you know,
it seems you have better things to do than hold on to grudges like that.
Don't you know, man, grudges and any kind of ill thinking is poison, man. It's poison for yourself.
Yeah, it's like holding onto a coal and hoping someone else gets burned. MJ Russo over on Instagram wants to know, is there any new merch coming to thomasisland.com? I think we can both say, there's going to be new merch.
There's going to be new merch. But if you haven't checked it out right now, why don't you go right now to thomasisland.com and you can see our summer collection, because we are about to run out right now. If you guys don't go, grab that merch right now.
Get that summer collection now, because once it's gone, we move it on to fall, and we're not going back to summer. That's the way it works. You have to wait until next summer.
Yeah.
So get on that now, thomasisland.com. Always going to be some new merch. So speaking of Thomas Island and subscribers, we've got OC Steve on the Facebook group wants to know, this is one where I'm not going to let you generalize. I'm going to make you be specific. I'm going to make you name some names. After a show, who's least likely to pay for a meal?
Gallows.
Big man
is not pesky, all right. I love you, Gallows, but you ain't paying for no meal. No, I'm just kidding. He probably does now with all the damn money he had, but
I would hope so.
All right, he's a damn millionaire now, but back when he wasn't a millionaire, he wasn't paying for nobody. All right. Just kidding, Gallows. I love it.
It's funnier because he's big, and so you know he's eating more than everyone. You know he's drinking more than everyone.
That's great.
All right, we're gonna have one more question. It's the one that everyone has been asking. In fact, so many people have been asking it that we can't credit it to one specific person on social media. We said, "Ask Tama anything," and this is one of the stories that or questions that was most common. So everyone wants to know, Tama, best Haku stories that you can confirm. What was he like as a father, and what was something you learned from him that you will impart on your kids? I want to start with that last one first. What's something you've learned from Haku that you want to impart on your own children?
My own children, you said?
Yeah.
Just how kind and generous he is. He's a big heart dude. That's my number one.
Nice. And then that follows into, so as a father, he was very, because we hear the stories about Haku, yeah. But we don't know the man. We don't know his heart. You know his heart.
You hear a lot of stories of how he beat up here, mm-hmm. who, there, what, and whatnot. But he's actually really, really, really nice dude. Really kind man. Mm-hmm. Yes, but he, I mean, look at me. He's my in real life, he's my uncle. We're not related. Sorry, my son is running all over the place.
That's all good. We're hearing from the future generation on this one.
Yeah. Just to kind of give you an idea how generous this guy is. He's not really my real father by blood. He's my adopted dad. He adopted me and my youngest brother, Hikuleo. And so as young kids, his wife is my real aunt by blood. Our mother's a sister. So it was, I mean, he had no business doing that, but he did it. And he's been raising us since we were kids. So that just tells you what kind of man he is.
I remember you telling us, because we did an episode on this podcast about your time in Tonga. And at the very end of the episode, you brought up how when your aunt, your now mother, brought you and your brother over to Florida, Haku was waiting there at the airport. Yeah. And he doesn't have any idea that she's bringing two kids to raise with mm-hmm. her. And she kind of explains it to him at the airport. He goes, okay. And that just for the rest is history. Like just to take the responsibility like that without even like a, basically just a shrug. That's some real shit right there. That's some beautiful stuff. This has been, we've been run the gamut. We're finally at the we're not at the complete end. We got a bunch more questions that are going to be exclusive to the people that are subscribed to the Thomas Island Patreon, but we are coming towards the end of a long deposition. Tama, how are you feeling about this?
This is all right. I've told you I've had a 3 energy drinks so far. Yep. They're not healthy, but hey, it's zero sugars. It's supposed to be like natural, clean energy, but we'll see.
Okay.
But I'm trying to find the energy to do it. But hey, this has been fun. I like this. I like this very much.
I agree. It's an interesting way to kind of catch all the questions that fall through the cracks. Because we do a little bit of that in the happy hours with the subscribers, mm-hmm. but this is a way to really open it up to everyone that's listening and kind of get their questions. I don't think it's unreasonable to say we'll be doing this this again. Just a reminder, since we're sort of wrapping up here, if you're out and about in the world today, you should probably be wearing a mask. In fact, if you're going to a store, they're going to make you wear one. If you want to look good, if you want to wear one that's nice and stylish, we got masks available at chaitees.com. It's going to be the last week to buy any of the Thomas Island summer collection over at thomasisland.com. There's going to be new merch and new stuff coming up as the end of the month comes up and as the new months roll on. So please head on over to Patreon. Please keep subscribing. Please keep listening. Tama, where can they find you on social media?
Oh, shit. I don't know, bro. Okay, hold on. You tell them why.
I'll tell them. We can find you. We can find you at @Tama_Tonga on Twitter, at the good bad guy Tama Tonga on Instagram, at Tama's Island on both. If you want to get in touch with the podcast, I'm at Ross W. Berman IV. Like I said, if you've enjoyed this episode and you want to hear more questions, subscribe to the Patreon. There's a bonus episode coming up. But thank you all so much for listening. Tama,
thank you very much. Yeah, it was great, Ross. Appreciate it, man. Sat back, listened to all you guys' questions. It's great to kind of let you in to my life, my head, my brain. Ross, thank you very much for doing that. And shoot, join us next week, huh? Join us next week, or you can join us tomorrow or tonight on the patreon.com/Thomas Island. And we have a Facebook group you can join in. We talk about a lot of things from Bullet Club, New Japan, anything. Ask me anything. Ain't nobody really than Gorilla. Ain't nobody really than Gorilla. I said, ain't nobody really than Gorilla. Ain't nobody really than Gorilla. Gorilla tactics. Whoa, you know we bout action. Whoa, you know we not lacking. Whoa, that's just not matching. Whoa, jump up on the rope. Put my feet up in your face. No, we ain't tapping out. What? Y'all ain't put this way. Whoa, Gorilla tactics. Ain't nobody really than Gorilla. Gorilla tactics. Ain't nobody really than Gorilla.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.